Hey there, everyone, and welcome back to Be a Warrior Podcast. I'm your host and an above-knee amputee, Angie Huser. It's that time once again to unleash the warrior within you. Are you ready? Then let's get started. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is so good to be back, and I apologize for being gone last week, but you know what? When the mountains call and your family's on vacation, you drop everything and just get out there and enjoy the world. And that is what we were doing last week. We actually were out in Park City, one of our favorite places to go skiing. And I have to tell you, it's just a great, I can't even express to you what it's like to feel back to a normal state of me. My husband taught me how to ski when we were 17, and we had dreams of someday getting married and having a family. And then one day, way in the future, when he retired, we would get off and just go skiing everywhere. And in 2013, when I hurt my leg, my knee, and then I spent 5 years of not being able to ski, I mean, 5 years in your children's lives when they were, you know, middle school into high school, that's a huge chunk of a child's life. We don't change a ton as our older years in 5 years, but kids change drastically year to year. And all I kept seeing were my three boys going up on chairlifts together. And I spent many a time sitting in the lodge with tears in my eyes because I was missing out on watching them grow and change and become better skiers and just the fun of being at the top of the mountain. And I swore to myself that one of my goals that I was going to set for myself when amputation became the only option to have a normal life, a life back to activities that I was used to. When I say normal, that's what I mean. As best as I could be back to normal, skiing was the very first thing. One, because my husband had already planned a ski trip for the family, knowing that I would just tag along is what he thought. After my December of 2018 amputation above the knee, I told myself that when April rolled around, the beginning of April, when we had the ski trip planned in Breckenridge, that I was going to go and I was going to do some sort of skiing somehow. Didn't know how, but I looked into it, found that there were adaptive ski programs in Breckenridge and reached out to them. And guess what? The first step was to figure out what I wanted to do. My husband, of course, wanted me to be safe and maybe do a monoski, which is sitting kind of in a bucket and guiding yourself with short poles as you kind of sled down, almost like sled hockey. And I was hell-bent to look like a skier standing up because I knew I was strong enough and I was determined enough to be standing. So I asked, what is the option? And they said three-track skiing. So I had never seen it. So this is a whole new world, right? Amputation is a whole new world. The community is a different group of people. And then any of the sports that you used to do are adapted somehow. I had no idea what I was getting myself into physically, but I knew that I wanted to try. And I will tell you, I can remember that first ever day of skiing. We just did a half day because we knew it was going to be exhausting. Just getting on a tow rope that pulled you along with the carpet up a little bunny hill with one ski and trying to balance was the hardest thing I'd ever tried to accomplish. I just was like, this is hard. This is really hard to stay balanced. Think about riding a bike at the slowest pace you can and just wobbling right back and forth. If you don't keep pedaling, you can't keep your balance. Well, the slower you ski with one ski, the harder it is to balance, which seems weird because I do much better on steep slopes now than bunny hills. Like catwalks, forget it. Those things scare me to death. One, because they're so slow, and if you hit somebody else's track with one ski, you're fishtailing, which does not make you feel good, and it locks up your quad you're using to keep your balance. Then you try to, you know, swoosh back and forth on a catwalk, and all you're doing is slowing yourself down, which, like the bike analogy, makes it that much harder to stay standing. And the third thing that's scary is most people, because no one likes the catwalk, it's just a very level ground to get from point A to B to get to a better skiing section. And most people go flying as fast as they can through that, thinking that someone's going to be like me back and forth a little bit, and they don't pay attention. And I have, not as an amputee, but I have been wiped out from behind with two skis back in the day on catwalks. That's like the only time I fall is when someone wipes me out on a catwalk. So it's a little frightening. But what ended up happening that first day, that first half a day of skiing back in 2019 was I learned very quickly that my upper body had to be strong, I had to have core strength and really good balance, and my quad better be ready to go when I go skiing. That first day, my quad was so fried. It was just a half a day on bunny slopes, but you know, when you're learning something new, everything is tense and you tighten up all your muscles, your lats, your shoulders, you're holding onto these outriggers that actually are, your elbows are up, you're actually elevated. You're not ski poles down beside your body. They're up. You're skiing with things out in front of you and you're holding your arms up. So your shoulders are constantly working. Your quad feels like it's in a constant mid squat. And you just pray to God you don't fall, because then you try to figure out how to get up with one ski and skis on the end of your ski poles, which normally you would dig into the ground and push yourself up. So fast forward, made it through that. I did that year. I did ski lessons at their Ability Center in Breckenridge. The next year, I did the National Ability Center in Park City. Met some beautiful people there, amazing instructors, and really blossomed that year. One, because I had spent a year of working out and getting more fit. When I had that amputation, I was overweight from 5 years of surgeries and not any mobility. And I lacked any muscle tone because I just hadn't been doing anything. So I spent a year of working out and getting more fit, and you lose a lot of weight when you're working on learning to walk again with a prosthetic. And so the second time out, they were full days, and I really started to hone in on where my eyesight should be and where my ski poles or my outriggers should be with movement and how to breathe in and out depending on where you're at in your back and forth, and how to arch into your boot on a curve and then release and stand up more on the straightaway and then down again when you're doing the next turn. So I learned a ton at the National Ability Center the second year. And now fast forward, this will be my fifth year of skiing. And I'll tell you the one constant that I just can't get past is the fear or the anxiety that builds up every morning. And I'm a very introspective person. So I really was thinking this through after the end of the day, once I got through all of it. Why is it that I feel that way? Why do I get stomach aches? Why do I get anxious? What is it that's triggering this? Because I know how to ski and I rarely fall. This last trip, I had two wipes. One, I caught the back edge of my ski in some new powder that happened because it actually snowed while we were there. And when I tried to turn and you have one ski, there's nothing else balancing you out. So if you don't push hard enough, you can hit some a bank of snow and skid. And I did that. So not a problem, and actually surprised myself, got up really quick and on my own, which was a first for me, which was a hallelujah moment, knowing that I could actually go out ski by myself if I ever had to, wanted to, and I could get up if there was a problem. The second time that I fell, inevitably, the only time I ever fell as a two-legger would be at the very end of a run. You've had a long day, you've done a couple miles, and you get to the end and you're looking forward to being able to take your ski off and maybe go have a beer. And you get to the very end and you're just standing there. And I don't know if your attention goes somewhere else. I actually wiped out without my ski on. I was able to pop my one ski off, jump out, was standing there, and I just fell. Like, I think my leg was just so taxed that I just didn't have, and my upper body strength didn't have it in me to push myself and crutch myself with my outriggers, that I just wiped. So this was my first time of, wiping out on a mountain and getting myself up. And not my first time falling at the end when I was just tired and I was done for the day, but it happens. And but this time I would just sit there and think about what is it that upsets me, or what gets my stomach running. So you guys understand that there's a lot to skiing that isn't just being on the mountain. The fact is that, let me just take you through a morning. I don't put my leg on. Okay, so my leg doesn't go on. I've cut off my pant leg and sewed it shut so I don't have, obviously, an opening for cold to get in and snow to get in. And sewed that shut. So I ski with no leg on. And so I put all the gear on, all the layers on, my jacket and everything. And I, to make it easier on my family, who carry my one ski and my two outriggers down, because I'm on crutches. So I don't use my outriggers because of the way my shoulders have to be up on solid ground. It's really high and very hard to crutch long distances with my outriggers. And my outriggers do flip up into brake mode or crutch mode when I need to walk over snow, and they've got jagged edges, metal edges on that very tip, that when I dig in, I have balance and I don't slip. So I cannot use those through the hallway, down the elevator, and across the cement till I get to a tram or a gondola or a lift. So I have to crutch down. And at first I was afraid to leave my crutches, because if someone stole them, then I was going to be in trouble. But now we do leave them. My husband used to collapse them and put them in his backpack, which made his day a little bit heavier and a little bit more work. But now we just leave them where the ski caddy is. And then I turn into using my outriggers. And this time around, I had to outrigger, I don't know, maybe 100 yards, which doesn't sound like long, but it is a lot of balance and coordination and making sure you don't hit something slippery like an ice patch. And then you get to the gondola, and by the time you get there, you're so exhausted already. So right there, I was already fearful because I knew I'd be really, really tired. I had already burned out my shoulders. Get on the gondola and you're just sweating. I mean, truly sweating from all that work. It is a workout just to get to where we went to. Then you get on the gondola and you're like, finally, okay, I can relax a little bit, but you got to watch where you're going because you need to be ready to jump off. And jumping on and jumping off, again, another stressor. You ask the people to slow it down, but you're literally getting in ahead of it and then jumping on and landing with the ski boot and hoping to God that you balance well. And then getting off is the same way. You can tell someone to slow it down when you're on the ground, but a lot of times they don't know to slow it down when you're getting off. So you do a quick jump off when the door opens, and you jump off and hope to God you do a stick a landing. And then my family gets my skis out and everything. Then you have to walk from that gondola about 20 feet and then up some stairs over some ice where everybody's been walking and push yourself up a big hill to get onto a flat plane to put your ski on. But you have to decide, is it easier to crutch over to where you want to start going, or do you want to put your ski on and push, which I don't choose to do because, like the bike analogy, the slower you are sliding on your ski, the harder it is to balance, which means then I'm burning out my quad. So I stuck with my shoulders and I worked crutching over to a flat plane closer to our run. Then you get your ski on. Well, guess what? You don't have another foot to balance to put one ski in. And if the powder is wet at all, it is now clumping to the bottom of your ski boot, which makes it impossible to snap into place because it's in the way. How do you do this? Well, there's no real easy way because I can't balance on my ski poles or my outriggers while my husband tries to dust off my ski, and I have no boot, second boot, to bang it against, which I would normally have done. So you really kind of hope that you can get it cleaned off and it's not wet. If it is, my husband normally just gets down on his hands and knees and uses his glove and I tippy toe on it, and he tries to get as much off as possible. Then you have the fun of jumping into your ski on one leg, so you balance for a few minutes, or a few seconds, onto your outriggers till you get your boot right in the tip and then try to snap it in. And if you're lucky, you get it on the first try and there's no snow. If you're not, you have to do it a couple times. All being said, by this point in time, I'm already exhausted, especially the first day when I haven't skied since December. Totally exhausted. Now you start to push. Now you push and you get a little bit of movement. Well, at that point, then you put your outriggers down and they become your second and third skis. That's your three tracks. So you start tracking. The place we were going at the top would get me going just a little bit, like a slow catwalk. So I'm balancing slowly and it would stop. So then I'd have to pop up my outriggers into brake mode and push and push and push, push uphill, get out of the way. Make sure you're not in someone's way because you don't want to be the cause of an accident. And then you finally get to the top. And at that point, I literally was taking my first break before I even started to ski down. Now, the canyon, since I had not yet skied as an amputee on the canyons, I didn't know where I was going. Park City is like a second home. I know the runs really well. I know where I want to go. I know what they're going to look like and feel like. The canyons, I wasn't so much, and I didn't know where I'd be going. Some of the blues were extreme blues, which were awesome, but occasionally I would pick up a little bit too much speed and I wasn't ready for it, so then I'd have to work on really cutting hard, which is again a thing for the quad, and just enjoyed those trips down, but would literally have to stop, I don't know, in a mile and a half, probably stop four times because my leg was burning so bad. And God forbid we have to hit any catwalks or slow space areas. There was one catwalk I had to stop the first full day that we did that catwalk down to the next chairlift. I would literally stop mid catwalk because I could not hold that pose any longer. And I was just going so slow that it was just, my quad was screaming. It was on fire. And so finally the big ta-da was I made it. The last 2 days, I actually, of the 3 days on that one little section, the last 2 days, I actually made it through that catwalk barely, but without stopping. And that was one of those, check that mark, I win that one. I was so proud of myself for getting through that. But the burn, wow. So skiing, while being fun, I felt, okay, well, maybe those are the things that kind of start to well up inside of me and make me very nervous. The other thing is you can't control the people around you. You can't. There are etiquette and rules to skiing, kind of like driving, that the person that's downhill has the right of way, which means anybody that's behind you needs to watch out for you and your pattern. And when I say pattern, if you see a new skier, your new skier will go far left, real slow, make the turn and cut really sharp to go straight versus down. They're going across the mountain back and forth. Really long ones. Beginner skiers will be like that. Intermediate skiers will be a little quicker going down, but still shushing back and forth. And then the ones that think they're experts will go flying as fast as they can because they think speed is the best thing possible, except for when they run into someone who is, like for me, if I'm cutting one way, I have to cut a little sharper and harder when I go the opposite way because I don't have a down ski anymore. And I might cut back quicker than they're expecting. And that's, I think, what happened that first time I got wiped out into. Someone came right in behind me. There was nobody else on the mountain. He claimed he never saw me. I'm not even sure that's possible. I had at that time a bright pink jacket on. But he ran right in front of my husband, past my husband, and took me out right in front of a ski patrol, which tore a piece of his ticket off and said this was his first infraction of the day, because I said I was fine, even though I was in a lot of pain. And so I think that brings another set of nerves about it, because you don't want to get in someone's way, you don't want to get hit, but you're hearing that sound that's unmistakable when someone's coming fast and through snow and ice towards you. You hear it coming left and right of you as you're going back and forth. What I did find out is some of my best skiing this last week was when we went really high up and I found no one else on the mountain with me. And there was some beautiful I wish you could be there. Some beautiful, such peaceful moments of just me, the mountains, and the rhythm that you find is very like a mantra going back and forth. You just have this rhythm that's just peaceful, and it makes you feel like there's nowhere else on earth you could possibly find that kind of peace. And I wish that for anybody that goes out and tries to ski, because it is a great thing. And when I found that peace, I found my rhythm. I found skiing to be easy, to be honest with you, because I wasn't worried about anything else or anybody else. It was just me in the mountains. My kids know to keep space from me. My husband always stays up mountain from me because he can watch who's coming. And if something were to happen, he's always great about being right behind me, but in a distance. And my boys love to just fly down because they're boys and they're young men and they're hauling and they're doing some tree skiing and everything. And they'll meet me a little further down and then wait for me and watch me come down. And they're really good at cheering me on. And it was just a great time. But I'm thinking, between all the exhaustion that happens prior to even putting any effort into skiing, and the fact that you have to worry about what's coming from behind you because some people just don't pay attention, that I think those are the things that I dislike about the skiing and what make me very anxious about it, because I don't want to get hurt. I have one knee left. I need to take care of it. And when you get wiped out, you don't know what can happen. You see people coming down the mountains with ski patrol and they're in one of those sleds and you're like, oh geez. And you want to see people in boots and on crutches, go to a ski resort. There's usually a good handful of people that you see in a week that are on crutches from an accident because either someone wiped out behind them or they had no idea what they were doing. So that's where I was last week. Now, I will tell you that it is so rewarding to have met the goal, hit the goal, and look forward to the next ski season. But I will tell you that it does not come with facing my own fears and my own desires to be as perfect and as good as possible at what I do. And each year it's all about building my stamina, being able to ski longer and harder, being able to go to harder levels, still trying to reach for that black diamond again. It is about not falling and having that perfect, pristine record. And just doing the best of my ability to stay up with my family versus having them wait for me all the time. And I know they're willing to, and it's great that we get to ski together. I should be thankful for that, I know, but there's a part of me that wants to be able to ski like everyone else in my family, and that is without stopping in a mile and a half run about four times. So those are still my goals, and I know I can always better myself. So that will be something I work towards for next November, December, for when we ski then, and then again in the spring. Now I want to just switch gears really quick because I'm really, really excited about something. You have to know that next month, which I believe I've got one more podcast before April, but next month, April, is Limb Loss, Limb Difference Awareness Month. Limb Loss, Limb Difference Awareness Month, which basically is anybody that has had an amputation on any of their limbs or born that way. And every year that I've had my podcast, which has been, this is my fourth season, every year I have chosen to use that month and those four episodes to interview people that can help empower you, the listener, and in me, to live a better life and to really appreciate what they've done as an amputee. Most of the people are amputees. I have had some people with limb difference on born that way, but most of them are amputees I've met through the amputee community. This coming month, I am doing a whole month segment on people that are pioneers on inventions and innovations for the amputee in our amputee community. And by that, I mean people that have created prosthetic limbs, products to help with phantom pain, and adaptive equipment to get out and be active. And I am so excited for the lineup that I am being blessed with. I am really, really excited because I have a realm of people. I can't tell you anymore. I don't want to give it away, but you do not want to miss the 4 episodes in April. Whether you're an amputee or you have limb difference or you know someone that's an amputee, support someone who's amputee, or you're just really curious about amputee life, the 4 people that I have coming on have all been innovators making our lives as amputees much better. And they are going to come on, talk about what got them inspired, why they do it. Some are amputees and some are not. There's 2 that are and 2 that are not. And what got them into doing this, their reasoning behind it, how they did it, how long it took, what the product is. And I really can't wait for you to hear their stories and hear about their products, because I have pretty much all their products or been a part of some aspect of them, and cannot wait for you to hear their stories and hear about their inventions, their creations, their innovations to help our amputee community out to live quote unquote a normal life, and to show you what is coming in the world of prosthetics and stuff is absolutely mind-blowing. In the next 10 to 20 years, the changes in prosthetic wear is going to be exponentially different and so much better. So I hope you make sure you subscribe to my channel, because I do not want you to miss those 4, especially those 4 interviews that I have coming in April. And I just want you to be aware of them and make sure you share, because there are people that are looking for products to help them get out and be active. Or if they're dealing with phantom pains, there's a good product that's coming on that will probably be on, I think, the first week in April is when I have her posted. But please make sure you get on in April. Don't miss this month. It's going to be just astounding. The what you hear and the people you hear talking are going to be, they're going to be inspiring. So I hope you had a great week off from me. I thank you for listening, and I thank you for sharing and subscribing. I'm just trying to grow my audience so that I can help more people with my stories and with my journey. And hopefully it does resonate with you. I always try to end with a call to action. Maybe this call to action is just simpler. And we just say, you know what, you're facing fears. Like, that's what mine is facing a fear. I would not know if I was capable of skiing again if I didn't just face the fears. And there are the first few years of skiing, they were really, really valid, frightening, fearful, anxiety-ridden kind of fears that would surface before each ski episode, every ski day. And even though I know what I'm doing, it's the unknown, I think, that scares me. And I can't control the environment. I can't control when I might hit a patch of ice. I can't control what someone else will do behind me and how they will ski past me. All those unknowns. But get out there, and if there's something that you want to try, don't let fear sideline you. It's so much more powerful. The end of each ski day this week, even though every day started with nerves and each run started with a little bit of nerves, once I was out there and moving, by the end of the day, I was so proud of myself for, one, facing those fears, 2, getting through them, and actually improving. And I can't improve if I don't face those fears. I'll never know how good I could be at something. Neither will you if you don't face the fears that you struggle with. And yeah, some are very valid fears. My fear when it came to surfing was sharks. But I know too many people that know sharks well enough to know that that is not the choice they make. And I have faced that fear and gotten in the ocean and started surfing. Yes, it is on my mind, but I'm not going to let it disable me. I am not going to let it make that a weakness in my life, because I want to do this. This is something. Your desire to do something and try something over the fear that it might evoke in you, you can't let the fear win. So I guess your call to action this week is, what is it that you're most fearful of? Now get out there and figure out how you're going to conquer it. And yeah, it's going to take a lot of grit, and it's going to take a lot of pushing yourself through some things that are uncomfortable, but you can do it, and you will be so proud of yourself when you finally accomplish that. So get out there, face your fear this week, and like always, write back to me. Let me know what fear you faced and how it felt when you did it and how you felt afterwards and the accomplishment. Trust me, you are going to feel so much better after facing a fear than you will feel telling yourself, I'm just not going to do it because I'm too afraid to. So I hope you have a wonderful week. I look forward to seeing you next week. And until then, and as always, be healthy, be happy, be you.